Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
If you build it, he will
come. It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas weekend, and now just a few days away from starting a completely new year, 2024, a week from yesterday. So it's kind of the calm before the storm, right, this week before we come back to January. And it is just pedal to the metal with high school hoops that will be rolling. Coming up on the show today, Jared, I didn't think superheroes died. And I was proven wrong over the weekend. Talk about the NFL this week. What?
That's pretty good. That's going to leave people hanging in there.
I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's our age and grew up out here. I don't think there's any doubt, you know, everyone knows what that means.
Oh, yes.
This week in the NFL. Yes. You know, the NFC, I think for most of the year, people have thought it's a three-team race. What are the chances it's not? Dallas is struggling. They can't win on the road. Philly, even though they've been winning games, not looking great. No one's scared to go to Philly, are they? Mm. We fought San Francisco. They just got absolutely manhandled last night. Are we still going to give Brock Purdy the MVP? Can you imagine the uproar on the airwaves today if that would have been Dak Prescott with that hideous performance last night that Brock Purdy put up? Maybe it's time to start talking about the MVP, who I said was going to win it before the year started, and who played in that game last night. Are we ever going to give Lamar Jackson any credit? His name is never brought up. Josh Allen gets brought up, for God's sake. I know Josh Allen's talented, but give me a break.
I saw this morning, though, that given Lamar,
are we finally going to give Lamar some love?
He was getting some more MVP love this morning. I saw that. I did see that.
It's about time. Chiefs are in trouble. They really and truly are in trouble. That team, they don't have the answers this year.
No.
They don't have the answers. It's just, they're in trouble. Going to have to do something they've never had to do, more than likely, in the Pat Mahomes era.
What would that be?
They're gonna have to play a game away from Arrowhead in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant
more than likely
internal, like,
no.
New coach or
they've never got to do. They never had to do that.
No.
Cowboys, I mean, what a broken record. I don't even know what to say. It's just they find ways to lose.
Man, I need to start filming myself when I watch Cowboys games because I let it all out after they got stuffed on that first drive.
They didn't get stuffed.
And then they got stuffed.
Fumbled the ball.
At the one, previous play.
Okay, it's first and goal. And they fumble the ball. Go right down the field. Two drives. But see, that's what they find. They find ways to do things you're just going, what? Nobody else in the league would do that. First off, nobody else but Tony Pollard wouldn't just run to the pylon and score a touchdown. And then fumble. Then we all knew that was going to lead to points on the other end, even though they got it at the one. You go right back down the field. CeeDee Lamb has four catches and like 94 yards or 95 yards and a touchdown in the first two drives. And for some reason, I don't know if it was Dak. I don't know if it's Mike McCarthy. For some reason, they just kind of throw up their hands and go, you know what? I don't think we'll throw it again to CeeDee till middle of the fourth quarter. You're just like, what? What? Anybody else? Joe Flacco was smart enough to see that Amari Cooper had a great advantage, and Amari Cooper set a record.
Yeah.
Cowboys. It's just it's hard. It's a hard deal. Hard deal being a Cowboys fan, I can tell you that. Now, what's your top five now? Weird week in the NFL to me. A really weird week.
A lot of shuffling in the playoff standings.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. There's just a bunch of – here's the deal. This is the year of I can't tell you. Maybe Baltimore is just the best team. Last night, you know, they look like it, but
– they look really good, and then I was thinking, well, is this a Super Bowl preview? And then you throw them in Vegas, or is that going to happen again? That's hard to – you know, it's hard to see Purdy throwing four picks again against – you know, so – I'm with you. Who is the best team? I still think 49ers are very Super Bowl worthy. I didn't see their playoff or their Super Bowl odds after last night, according to Vegas. Usually those fluctuate after wins and losses. But again, I'm sitting there watching that game thinking, yeah, Ravens, they had a heck of a spurt there in the third quarter, right? Like two touchdowns in, what, 30 seconds, 18 seconds, or whatever it was. And.
Yeah, but even the first half, it felt like they just dominated San Francisco.
Well, I just thought, yeah, we're probably going to see this again.
The ref tripped Lamar for a safety. That was nice.
He almost did it with a smile on his face. Yeah, and he slowed it down. It kind of looked like he was smiling when he was going down.
Jeez. Weird week in the NFL. What's your top five? And then we'll talk about how was Christmas? I know it was amazing it was amazing how many people were asking me at church on Sunday. How'd it go yesterday? Because, you know, that's when we went to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And that trip.
Yeah,
it was like, how'd it go? How'd it go?
Yeah.
I can tell you.
How did it go?
I can tell you how it went. Coming up here in just a second. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else is going to be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. Joe's thinking exactly like I was this morning about another team in that NFC. Going to be outside the listening area. You can stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com. You can download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. When's Penny News coming out?
I believe on schedule.
Is it going to be on schedule? So check it out tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. Tomorrow, pick up a free copy of it. Each and everywhere Penny News are found. And then, of course, we've got Paragon TV back on the air Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, the Merritt Oilerettes down at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic. They will take on the Being Lady Pirates, who were once coached by said Bertha Frank Teague. So you can check out Merritt Oilerette Basketball, Paragon TV, and then after the first of the year, starting the second that Tuesday, it is wall-to-wall hoops for almost two full months straight on Paragon TV. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Podcast. You can find the podcast anywhere. How was your Christmas?
It was very good. Had Friday night, Saturday, and yesterday. So three of them. But, didn't have to travel very far and got to hang out with good family and friends and ate a lot of food and watched the kids tear into presents, which has turned into my new favorite Christmas tradition, I guess, is watching kids just go nuts and seeing their reaction. So, and I think we did pretty good. Me and Nally were talking about it last night. Like, you think we did all right? Like, yeah, they were elated with everything that they opened.
Yeah, how sad it is to have to think that, but I get it.
What's that?
Did we do all right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
You know,
nothing short of coal in the sty. Here, you know what you're doing all right? You've got a roof over their head.
I know. I know. These kids have been good. And they, And I would know if we didn't do all right just based on James's reaction, because she doesn't hold anything back. Katie, even if she got something she didn't like, she would go, oh, thank you, you know, with the biggest smile on her face. James, you would know. She would probably look at you with an eye and go, okay, thanks, question mark, and then kind of toss it aside. And she didn't do that, so I think we did pretty good. It was a lot of fun. How was yours?
I haven't really had it yet.
Really? Still going on?
Mm-hmm. Wyatt's hadn't been here. He gets back today.
Okay. So tonight?
Tonight, and then Friday at Mom's. We did some stuff with Kara's folks on Saturday and Sunday. And then yesterday, had a little brunch at my mother's. And I did something I haven't done very many times. I made biscuits.
Like from scratch?
From scratch,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm well aware. I'm fully capable of opening the can out there.
Well, where's the fun in that?
So, yeah, I actually made some biscuits.
Well, good.
I'd like to do that again, do that more often, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because that was fun, and trying to figure out exactly how to do it, how to perfect that would be, it'd be fun for me. And then we cooked some stuff last night on the grill. We're going to do that again Friday. But, yeah, so Saturday, wake up, and we decide to head to Oklahoma City, the 23rd. Thankfully, we were going more for food instead of, like, Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
We weren't quite that crazy, although we did stop at a couple of different spots for, because it was me and my mother and Kara and my sister, my youngest sister, Allison. And Mom needed to stop at a couple of different spots to pick up just small gifts or cards or whatever. And so we did that. But outside of that, we went to Costco. Try to pick out some things for dinner that we're going to make on Friday. Holy cow. There was people there.
Yeah, I told you. Costco, yes.
There was people there. But even saying that, it was more of a pain. Like, when I think of people, I think of how, like, when you're trying to, let's say, like, check out and how annoying, you know, you're just in line. That part of it wasn't too terrible. No, but it was congested trying to walk around, especially back at the food. I mean, a lot of people had the same idea. Matter of fact, a lot of people had the same idea that we had as far as what to make. There was not one of those in the store. The entirety of
really?
Costco, what we were looking for, there wasn't. And there was another lady there that she was almost to the point of irate over this situation.
Oh, no.
I felt like this is what she did. She said, I come here every year and get two of those. I've got to feed like 40 people tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I've got to find this. And we're like, yeah, we came from Western Oklahoma thinking. But anyway, she led us to a different place. We went there, found it. And when we finally got done with our stops, we pulled into the Chili's right there, you know, at UConn, Garth Brooks, just to have like a snack, because we had a dinner coming up.
Yeah, chips and queso.
That's
right?
Kind of what we had, like the three, whatever they call it, like the an assortment of appetizers, like three different like half app or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. We had that and some chips and dip, and it was fantastic. And my mom said, you know what? This wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, good.
Considering.
What about the drive home? I was kind of worried about you guys in the rain. Was it late?
No, I didn't. No, we were home by.
You beat the rain?
Way. Easily.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, we drove home from my dad's.
No, it was way worse.
We didn't even think about. We just thought, oh, it's just a little. It was the downpour.
No, we were. It was way worse going, because Saturday morning it was extremely foggy.
I forgot about that fog.
And there was pockets of it that were not too bad. Like honestly, in between Elk City and Canute, I thought, oh, it's lifting. And then we got past Canute a little bit, and by the time we got to like the Burns Flat exit, it was like, good grief, you can barely see.
I think you kind of lower elevation when you go
there. And then obviously got through like Clinton, that's what I was gonna say. But once we got up the hill out of Clinton, like to the Loves, and then by the time, like, short of Weatherford were the windmills, you could see the tops of the windmills, and it was pretty well,
yeah,
pretty well done from there. So, It was, you know, that. But then our timing was perfect as far as the rain goes, because we were back at like 3:30 or 4. And then we were in town that night, and it actually rained quite a bit while we were at Kara's mom's. Then when we were driving home, we no more walked into the house, and you start hearing it like, is that rain? And then all of a sudden it was pouring down rain, yeah. Like big time rain.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, we were, that really wasn't a problem whatsoever.
We're good.
Just the fog on Saturday morning.
Yeah, that was going to potentially be an adventure for you, driving there in the fog, dealing with crowds, coming back in rain, but sounds like you avoided most of it.
Yeah, no.
Good trip. That was, good deal.
It was way...
You're braver than me.
It was way... Now, listen, there was nothing... It was just a normal... Honestly, if it... Just because the date or whatever, but it was no different than anything.
Yeah.
There was just people, and the traffic wasn't too terrible. Of course, you know, this is pretty amazing. You know, when you don't pay attention to life is when you call me between 9 and 10.
How long has this show been on there?
About as long as this dude's been alive.
Oh, yeah. I still get the calls, too, sometimes. Funny, Friday night we had a Christmas and we played left, right, center.
Oh, yes.
And James walked away the winner of the first round. She won a whopping $27. And she thought she was
she's rich.
Rich. She with all, especially when you're holding a wad of ones. 27
it even seems like
ones.
More.
And if you go on my Facebook and look at her family, I'll put a little picture and just you zoom in on James and she's holding up her ones in this family picture. Well, she asked me on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. She goes, "Daddy, Dad, can we have a little daddy-daughter date?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay. What do you want to do?" She goes, "Well, can we go eat and can we go to Walmart?" And I'm looking at her. I'm thinking, she doesn't understand how insane that sounds, going to Walmart on Christmas Eve. But then she quickly followed up, says, I want to spend my money that I won.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, we can do this. So we went to eat. Not a problem. Went to Walmart and took Katie, and I said, "Listen, girls, we're getting in and we're getting out. All right, team effort. You start thinking about where you want, what you want to get. Go to it, grab it, and let's go." And before we went, Allie told me, "Can you grab AA's and AAA batteries? I've done the research here. Those are the batteries we're going to need on Christmas morning." Okay. So we go. Get in the Walmart. It is crazy as expected. And part of that, too, is you run into people and you stop. "Hey, how you doing? Hey, yeah, yeah." You talk and talk. And we get out of there, get home. Allie says, "Where are the batteries?" And I forgot the dang batteries. Because I was such in a hurry to get in there.
Oh,
with
no.
So I said, "Okay, I'll go back. And I decided I'm not going back to, no disrespect to Walmart, but it's everybody's going to Walmart on that day. So I went to the new old Family Dollar Tree place over here. And it was not as busy. And I went in and grabbed the batteries. So I just couldn't go back to Walmart. But pretty adventurous. That was our adventure of shopping on Christmas weekend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, probably worse than ours.
But here's the deal. I'll give Walmart a lot of credit. They opened up each and every one of the registers. Of course, you have the self-checkout. So they are doing everything they could to make that efficient, to make that a quick trip, an easy trip. So I'll give them credit. It was all hands on deck at Walmart. So bravo. There was some drama this weekend at Walmart. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Oh, boy. That's a stressful job this time of year.
I did see it. Goodness. Goodness gracious. Glad I wasn't there. I mean, that would be... with everything that's going on, that'd be kind of a scary situation.
Yeah.
Just didn't know, you didn't know what was going to happen.
And when we went on Sunday, we came up on a wreck right there by Hutch's, you know, right there by the stoplight. I guess I couldn't tell what happened. We just came up on it because they were just getting out of their cars. And I told the girls, like, all right, we're going to take the back way home because I have a feeling this is still going to be, they're still going to be working this wreck. And, but then I saw a whole bunch of rumors on Facebook that were totally false about what that wreck was. And people say, oh, it led to, and I don't even want to say it on air, but bad things at Walmart and stuff, people, and it's crazy how social media just blows stuff up. I don't reply to that stuff. I want to say, it was just a fender bender. That's all it was. Quit trying to induce panic. Quit trying to, I don't even understand where all that starts. It's insane. And it drives me nuts because I was just waiting for a text or a phone call instructing me to look into this stuff.
I totally missed it. I missed part of that.
Good for you. That's a crazy day, but we avoided all the craziness, I think. It was a good Christmas. Good Christmas. Ate good food. Made some good sliders last night. And watched a lot of football. Watched a lot of basketball yesterday, too. First time in a few Christmases, then I haven't watched. Turned on the first game and found myself watching it all day.
Yeah, I missed it. I will say it's probably the last Christmas for, what, a decade that we won't have the Thunder game?
I think we'll see the Thunder on Christmas Day next year.
Yeah, I do too.
I think so.
Next year and a lot of years.
Yeah.
Talk a little NFL when we come back. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug, it's care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup. They also offer curbside testing and vaccinations. And, of course, they've got the blister packs, which is their long-term care unit packaging. Been going strong. I was down there the other day at Paul Jones Drug looking for some gifts.
Yeah.
I think on their building, did it say 1901? I believe 1901 is when Paul Jones Drug started.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
It's 1901 or 1907. I think it's 01 because I'm thinking of 07 because it's what? Statehood?
No, that's right.
So I think 1901 is what it, of course, it's obviously a new building, but kind of to commemorate when the business started. That's an amazing accomplishment. Nearing a century and a quarter.
That is crazy. That's awesome.
Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and all the gang down there at Paul Jones Drug.
I'm glad you remembered it's Tuesday.
Yeah, I almost didn't. I was sitting there, and I thought, okay, a Monday. And I was like, wait a minute, it's Tuesday. I got to print those reports for all the salespeople. I just barely got that in before it was time to come here on the air. Start talking about the different things that went on over the weekend. Big part of that was the NFL. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the basketball, because for years and years and years and years, the NBA has dominated Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because here over the last couple, 3 or 4 years, with the advent of a weekly Thursday game, then Christmas kind of being Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or Monday, you know, in that TV window, if that's why this is happening, or if the NFL is targeting Christmas Day for real, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that they're not, but I also think it just be a function of where Christmas is falling. Like, are they going to have a Tuesday game next week, next year, a Wednesday? Do they care?
Well, Christmas falls on a Wednesday next year.
I guess it's
a
leap year, right?
Right.
2024?
So it's not on a Tuesday. So it'll skip and go to a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that might answer your question in a big way.
Well, will they do it Wednesday instead of Thursday?
Exactly. Well,
throw somebody. I mean, is somebody going to have to play Sunday and then Wednesday? But the what I'm saying
think
is,
a bye week would be involved there. But
you would,
yeah.
But it's also getting at the end of the season, into the schedule where everybody's already kind of done that.
Yeah. No, I think that's when you'll get your answer. Is you'll see if they come out and announce, "Hey, we will have a Christmas Day game or two." Well, yeah, we'll quickly find out.
Yeah, you wonder if it would have to be a Thursday, then Wednesday, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's I know this. It makes the NBA out of sight, out of mind for me. When you've got NFL versus games that matter for playoff positioning or even division championships versus game 30 of the NBA schedule, and that's why if you're the NBA, I think you've got to rework everything. If the NFL really is going to be a threat, I think you have to either incorporate the in-season tournament like we talked about last week. It's kind of having the finals on Christmas. That way it generates that more excitement. Or it's opening night, opening day, and scooch the calendar back a little bit where you're not competing as directly with the NFL because it's just not going to work. But I thought that's an interesting thing that's kind of come up here the last couple of years. NFL wise, though, I thought it was a weird week. Because even in some of the different teams that lost, or more importantly, maybe in some of the different teams that won, it's like okay, they don't look any different than they did. Like Buffalo, okay, you went on the road at the Chargers. The Chargers have been terrible. And it's not impressive the way you did it. Pittsburgh was pretty good behind Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, they were.
The Rams look pretty good. I'm telling you right now.
They're coming on, aren't they?
There's some people, there's some division champs that don't want to see the Rams in the first round of the NFC.
No.
But the story to me of the weekend was for the first time since 1993, the Detroit Lions are division champs of the NFC North. A 30-24 win over Minnesota. Are we sleeping on Detroit as a true NFC Super Bowl contender? Because to me, all season long, it's been one of the triumvirate of Dallas, Philly, or San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, old Detroit's hanging in there at 11-4 now. Champs of the NFC North. If the playoffs started tomorrow, what would they be, the second seed? No, they'd be the third seed.
Yeah.
Having to go to Philly. If they win the first game, how much of a chance do you really truly give Detroit?
As a Super Bowl contender or?
Yeah.
Super Bowl contender? I'm not ready to go there. I think they are an NFC contender with the likes of 49ers and Philly. And I'll stop there.
Oh, good God. Dallas is – they're not going to do it, but they're a contender. They're one of the – they're as good as anybody.
You look at their road, man. I just can – if they can win a road game at,
are we so,
at
are
wherever
we,
they
are,
go.
Well, them win a road game anywhere. But
anywhere, yeah. What,
does last night, yeah. Does last night change your mind just a little bit or start to change your mind about how hard it is to go to San Francisco and win? Didn't look very damn hard to me.
Yeah, well, Purdy finally looked like the guy I thought he'd be with the picks.
see how he bounces back. It's weird.
He's not going to throw four picks every game from now on. Well, so every time, there's a quarterback that every quarterback has a bad day every once in a while. But yeah, it is interesting to see how he can bounce back. Who do they got next?
Who?
Niners. Do they?
Changed.
They're at Washington.
They don't play the Rams. They're done with the Rams.
They're at Washington.
Sure. See, that feels like a game kind of like Philly had against the Giants.
Like they need a layup, right, to come off.
No, they do play
like
the Rams. They do. They host the Rams last week. That's right. Which that division's done. At 11-4, Rams 8-7, Seattle 8-7. So they're going to win that division. Obviously, they've already won it, even with that loss last night. I don't know. I think the way the Niners lose last night, and everyone just waiting for now a year and a half for Brock Purdy to have that game, you're going to hear a bunch of "See ya, told you so." He is Mr. Irrelevant for a reason, and like you say, throw away everything he's done to this point because he had one bad game.
See, I'm not.
But here's what's crazy.
I've been on that like that. Like I said, waiting for him to look like that last pick of the draft. I'm waiting for him to be that irrelevant dude. But I'm not ready to go there 100% and say I told you so until he starts doing it more consistently. It's one game. It's one bad game. I mean, even the greats have had bad games and looked silly. So he still has a really good team built around him. They're going to bounce back against Washington next week. He's going to look fine. Let's get to the playoffs and see if he can continue to be very relevant. I'm not ready to go there and go, like some national media clickbait wannabe dudes would say. I'm not going to do it.
What's crazy is he's been fantastic. There is no doubt about that. He's been more than the 49ers ever could have hoped for with that pick in the last pick of the draft. But even watching last night when he got pulled, and then, I mean, let's not act like Joe Montana came in. Sam Darnold came in. And even Sam Darnold looked like he had more arm talent than Brock. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like last night was the perfect feeding of the monster that is. Well, anybody can do it with those weapons, right? I mean, it was just perfect for all those people that have said that for a year and a half now about Purdy only being successful because of the weapons he's had around him. Yeah, that narrative isn't going away after last night, but I'm the same way. Like, okay, yeah, he had a bad game. That happens. He had a bad game against maybe the best team in the league, by the way. And I think the part of today, it's going to be dissecting Brock Purdy and what the Niners didn't do more than what it ought to be. And it's, you know who's pretty damn good? Baltimore. Everybody wants somebody else to be the AFC darling, and they're not. It's Baltimore. Baltimore is the best team in the AFC. That does not necessarily mean they're going to the Super Bowl, but they have been throughout the entirety of this year. They've been the best team in the AFC from the beginning. And here's what's wild. Think about this. For all the teams, and there's a bunch of them, that don't have quarterbacks that could be pretty good if they had a quarterback. You know who they could have had? Lamar. He was a free agent. And everybody just kind of looked around and went, it's Lamar. You know, those criticisms of him.
They didn't want the baggage.
What baggage?
That's what I'm saying is that they thought he had.
It's amazing to me that this league will trade for Deshaun Watson and pay him $250 million guaranteed, no questions asked. And then a guy like Lamar who, hey, has he had a bad playoff game or two? Sure he has. What quarterback hasn't? But all he's done, and maybe he's getting disrespected because people don't actually dive in and see what has happened. But you look at the last couple of years. Well, the Ravens haven't been as good. They haven't been in the playoffs. Da da da. Guess what? It's because Lamar got hurt. That's the whole reason. They were the one seed going into December in like 2020, 2021. Lamar gets hurt. They don't make the playoffs. Everybody's like, well, what happened to the Ravens? I'll tell you what. Their quarterback got hurt. Now, there's obviously some issues with him, and maybe that there's a reason for that because of, you know, his style of play and whatnot. But still, I mean, last night hopefully is kind of a look into, you know what, Lamar is pretty good. And at this point, the MVP race is it's crazy. Who in the world outside of, you know, is this a chance for a non-quarterback to win? Because it doesn't seem like there's much of an appetite to name Lamar Jackson the MVP again.
No. So outside of a quarterback position, who are you thinking?
Well, a lot of people would have thought Tyreek, and then he got hurt. And so he's fallen off of that magical pace of 2,000 yards. Is there a defensive player that's worthy?
Yes, there is, but I don't think they would crack anybody who's top five.
I mean, is there a chance?
I got a Vegas or DraftKings.
Okay, what do they got?
After last night, it's Lamar as the favorite. And this was my guy I was going to say outside of a quarterback was McCaffrey, and he's at number two.
Yeah, and even though it wasn't necessarily his fault last night, but that was a head-to-head against the, you know, one of those guys, and his team got crushed. And so you don't even necessarily pay attention to whatever Christian McCaffrey's stats were. They'll add two. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He still had 103 yards rushing and six catches, scored a touchdown. Yeah, average night for him.
Average
basically.
Night for him, yeah.
I get it. But on the other side, you had, you know, Lamar doing what Lamar did.
Yeah,
I'm really interested.
Rounding out DraftKings top five, I said Lamar 1, McCaffrey 2, Brock Purdy the 3,
mm-hmm.
Tua, and then Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, give me a break. Josh Allen. See, that's crazy to me. Where is a guy like, you know who ought to be the MVP? There's zero chance he can win. I mean, less than zero. But you know who ought to be the MVP?
Who's that?
Joe Flacco.
Oh, man, yeah.
Look what he's done.
100%.
Or if you're going to have a defender, what about Myles Garrett?
Yeah. Is there a comeback player of the year award?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because Mayfield has been mentioned for that.
Sorry.
But Joe Flacco, he has got to be in there.
Son, that award was given away week 17 of last year. Tamar Hamlin winning that award. Oh. You can book that. He's played like five snaps, and one of them cost his team a game by being the 12th man on the field on a field goal. But you can book it. You know, there's no reason to even worry about it being anybody but Damar Hamlin because he came back from the dead. I'm just saying. We all know how these votes go. Yeah, Baker, Joe Flacco, probably more deserving winners of that award. Are the Chiefs any good? Dakota asks. It's funny because that's kind of on our list here. You know, we've seen this a bunch in the history of the NFL where, you know, it doesn't even have to be a team like the Chiefs that's won a couple of Super Bowls in the last 5 years, but struggle around and buried for, you know, left for dead. And then all of a sudden they kind of figure something out and there they are again. Felt like the Patriots that were that way a ton of times toward the end of seasons, lose a marquee game in prime time or what have you. And it's like, oh, this is the end. And then all of a sudden you look up and they're winning another Lombardi. I just don't feel that from the Chiefs. I feel like this thing is off the rails. And no matter what Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes or whoever does, I just don't feel like that train is getting back on the tracks.
The what I'm seeing more and more of, I mean, obviously, your team goes by way of its quarterback, and Mahomes just hasn't been making the throws this year. were making the plays. But what's striking me is that it's looking like there's this crack, and we're seeing, I mean, obviously it was really, really well documented how Patrick Mahomes acted a couple weeks ago to the offsides call, and people were really ripping him for acting basically like a baby because it didn't go his way. And then you saw a little bit more of that this week too, with how he was acting on the sideline towards his own teammates, and that's not a good showing. That's not a good sign if you're a Kansas City fan, because you're showing that we got this guy, we got to him. If they're not, if he doesn't get his calls, or if it's not going his way, we're getting between his ears. That to me is a bigger concern than the actual play on the field, is how Patrick Mahomes is acting off the field. How his it's not what a leader is how acting like that and going, you know, yelling at the refs and yelling at your own players. That's concerning to me, from a guy that we've seen play really, really good football and act really well, and all of a sudden it's just gone 180.
Well, it's really the first time we've seen tons of adversity.
Yeah.
and Chiefs, even at the times when maybe the team was having a little bit of trouble, a lot of that was defensively. You know, the Chiefs were still rolling up and down the field offensively. They maybe just been losing a couple of games here and there because they couldn't stop anybody. Now, for the first time in his career, the team's struggles are directly pointed at the offense, because the Chiefs' defense is fantastic. And now the offense is causing a problem. And on the text line, maybe it's because Hill – I don't know if it's just Tyreek individually, but here's what we're seeing. We're seeing that the Chiefs tried to fill that void with draft picks at the receiver spot, and it just hasn't – they haven't gotten the right guys. And even Mahomes' greatness can't make up for – Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropping a touchdown pass at the end of a game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a completely different conversation around the Chiefs if they just make like three different catches through the year. You know?
Yeah.
But they haven't. And it seems like not making those plays has started to snowball to where, like Mr. Weathers said, of all the teams that are supposed to be good, they clearly look the worst this week. Clearly. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, if you pick a biggest loser – of playoff teams, they win that hands down. It wasn't even close. I mean, at least the Niners, you can go, well, they also won six or seven straight. You know, they were due a bad game, and the Ravens may be the best team in the league. You're not saying none of that about the Aiden O'Connell-led Raiders. He didn't complete a pass for like an hour and a half of real time. I mean, that's how crazy it was. I mean, I got to play Devontae Adams in fantasy football. He caught like the third play of the game. He got a catch. It's like, oh, yeah, here we go. He ended with one catch and 4 yards. That's how bad that Raiders offense was. And the Chiefs had no answers offensively their own way. You know, Kelce is a shell of himself. Doesn't it seem? I mean, man, Kelce seems like he's on his last leg. Maybe he's hurt and he should have gotten – you know, maybe he should have gotten something done in the season, but he didn't want to end his season. Maybe there's something there that we don't know about. Or maybe Taylor Swift is the Chiefs' Yoko Ono, and she's going to break the band up. I don't know.
They keep losing.
It's really interesting how she got in the picture and they have fallen apart.
Yeah, if this doesn't work, if it keeps losing and going the way it's going – all these Taylor Swift / Kansas City fans, all these fans that love her, are suddenly going to go, get her out of the booth. Get her out of there. Can't stand you. You're the problem.
Like Sam said, women weaken legs.
Ouch. Ouch.
Incredible. But
one
more topic.
The adversity thing and how he's acting on the sideline. And again, it goes back to the Purdy thing. People had bad days. Shoot, best quarterbacks, some of the best quarterbacks, they have their down seasons. You could look at tradition, you look here, good here, good here. He had an average year that year, didn't first round bailout in the playoffs, came back and won the Super Bowl, da-da-da. But how he's acting on the sideline is very
well. Let's not pretend like Peyton and Tom Brady didn't have fits on the sideline too.
They did.
But it just at the timing of it all makes it seem so much worse, right? Because it almost feels like of all the people in that organization that need to keep their wits about him, he's the one that's losing them.
Right.
And it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do if our leader does this?
He is the face. Him and Reed, I mean, they're in every commercial you see. Mm-hmm. He is the face. Him and Kelsey too, but him particularly is the face of this franchise right now.
I wonder if his frustration isn't at what at the moment. It's him in his own mind realizing to himself, we don't have a way to fix this year. We're stuck. You know, the realization has come to Mahomes' mind before it came to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everyone else is like, oh, well, how can the Chiefs fix this? And maybe Patrick Mahomes has realized in his own mind, we can't. It doesn't matter what we do, we can't. Right. But yeah, there's still playoffs, and there's still that playoff success and being there. And listen, I would hate to bet against them. But there's no chance I'm betting for them. That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be scared to death if I was any of those other teams in the AFC, even them coming to you in a divisional playoff game, because we know the magic he can create in a one-game spot. And I wouldn't want any part of them. What do the Bucks do? Do the Bucks do they have to seriously consider Baker Mayfield as an extension type option? I mean, if you're a Bucks fan, what are you thinking right now?
Well, I bet you they thought, not as a fan, but as the front office, they're thinking, this is a win-win for us. We know we're not going to have the greatest of teams. Let's get this guy, this holdover quarterback, this Band-Aid of a quarterback that's capable of playing but not capable of winning at a high level, and get him, sign him on for 1 year, and then after that 1 year, cut him loose, and we look towards our future. But now they're going to have that discussion of, what do we do with this guy? He's playing really well, and do we want to keep him around longer than what we intended, or do we stick with the original plan? The big question is Mike Evans.
Well,
that's the big question.
Well, I wonder,
keep that duo together, because the chemistry there is through the roof.
I wonder how much input Mike Evans himself has. Maybe not directly, but even indirectly, if his stance, or even, I mean, I think he could probably almost make the decision for them if he said, listen, I'm back if you re-sign Baker for a couple years. It's hard. I don't know. It's almost like a mini San Francisco in some ways. The offensive line isn't nearly as good in Tampa as it is in San Francisco. The weapons are pretty, maybe not as good. Let's not put them on that. But they're, people don't realize how damn good Mike Evans is. That dude has done things that nobody has ever done outside of Jerry Rice in this league from a stat standpoint, and putting up numbers 10 years in a row with 1,000 yards receiving to start a career. Just nuts what he's done. And, you know, because pre-Brady, Tampa was just kind of meh. And then the Brady years, it was all about Brady. He sucked all the air out of whatever the conversation was for the Bucks. And now here it is, you know, the conversation we're having is Baker. And I promise you, we're not the only ones. Like, oh my gosh, did the Bucks re-sign Baker Mayfield? Is he a short-term answer that could lead to – I mean, the problem with – I think your theory is exactly right. I think they thought, you know what, Kyle Trask isn't the answer, we feel like. Let's bring this guy in. If he doesn't do very well, and he started out like it was headed down this track of, well, we'll just give – you know, we can give Trask the last 7, 8, 9 games to see, to make sure he's not the guy, and Baker can go do whatever Baker wants to do. And then all of a sudden something happened, and they've won 4 straight. They're leading the division with a 3-1 division record. And in a prime time position to win the division. host the Saints, who they already went to the Superdome and beat back in, what, week four. And then at the Panthers to finish it out. Yeah, I mean, there's a real conversation there that I can't really kind of believe we're having, but maybe he's found, he being Baker, maybe he's kind of found a spot. But a lot of that goes back to, like you said, man, Mike Evans would sure help if he would stick around.
See the incentives that Baker gets if they win the division?
Tell everybody.
I think it's a $1 million bonus, isn't it? Just for winning the division. You think they'd ever thought they'd have to pay that out?
No, I don't.
I'm sure some people did because, let's face it, it's a weak division. It's a really weak division.
I got to tell you,
it's still the NFL. I mean, he's still.
Shout out to the guy that we hear on these airwaves with Jim, Matt Ravis. He called this. He said, I'm not so sure that this team isn't the Seahawks of last year. You know, a team that nobody thought had much chance. And then all of a sudden, Geno has them in the playoffs. They didn't win the division, but they were a wild card. It's pretty good foresight.
It's pretty good. He's been good, and it's kind of redeeming, because we've always said, say we as OU fans and Baker fans, always thought, man, if he's on a good team, he could be good. If he's on just a good team,
let him be Brock Purdy, and he can be.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like Brock Purdy light almost, as far as the weapons he's got around him, and look at him.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like, I mean, Tampa was in the playoffs last year too with a losing record behind Brady, but. It's really interesting, and not a decision I think that, you know, even when Tampa, in their, they might have thought, you know, you never know, but I doubt they really considered. And the problem is he's played so well that they're kind of out of that top-tier quarterback,
or more
in the second tier of guys coming out in this draft. Back to Aiden O'Connell, I wasn't kidding about the pass. He had 62 passing yards in the first quarter, and he put up goose eggs. The rest of the way.
Wow.
Three quarters. Gosh. That they didn't complete, that he did not complete a pass, and they won in Kansas City. I can't even imagine the odds you could have got for that.
No.
Who's your top five?
I put the Ravens up at number one with that win last night. 49ers just at two. I've got, now this is where it gets a little murky. I chose to put the Dolphins at three, the Lions at four, and then the Bills at five.
So you have the first time you've had the Chiefs outside the top five, I think?
Maybe.
I think it might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. They don't need to be there. And Bills are riding a wave of momentum, so I got them there at five. Got a lot of respect for Lions and winning that division. They're at four. They're the real deal. I was waiting for the Lions to become the Lions all year long, and they just haven't.
It looked like they might on, was it Christmas when they lost to Chicago?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, there you go, the Lions.
There it is. Yeah.
And then they were outlined
Christmas
by the Vikings.
Thanksgiving, right?
Thanksgiving is what I meant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Christmas. Christmas was yesterday. Yeah, Thanksgiving. Yeah, they bounce back with the domination of the Broncos and then finding a way to win at Minnesota the other day. Okay, my top five.
Yes,
almost hit the button.
What's yours?
Number five, Dolphins. Number four, Browns. Number three, Lions. No. Take Dolphins out, put Eagles in. Eagles 5, Browns 4, Lions 3, Frisco 2, and Baltimore 1.
Very good.
It's Joe Flacco, Brian Drew.
Brian Drew. Who's Brian Drew? Why am I not catching that?
He gave the $100 back, Jared.
Oh!
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Hey, is this heaven? No.
It's the Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Excuse me, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thanks again to Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug. The convenience packaging is just the deal. They individually package your daily medication so that you don't have to. You don't have to load your pill caddy. You don't have to get all those pill bottles out of the cabinet and load them up on the right days with the right doses. No, no, they do it for you. And then you just open the package up, take them, and go on. We've also got the durable medical equipment, walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, and all that kind of stuff. Most insurances are accepted, and there's more than that. The gifts and the greeting cards that they have down there as well. 809 North Main, Paul Jones Drug, is care you can trust. We can talk about, we continue talking about, the Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence blaming the refs. Just ridiculous. But after all of it, you can blame Dak, you can blame Mike McCarthy, you can blame the defense, you can blame whoever you want to. I mean, and there's plenty to go around, I guess. You can blame Tony Pollard for having the vision of a blind person that then led to a fumble on the one-yard line. But there's only one constant, Jared. And the one constant is Jerry Jones. Ultimately, he has to shoulder the blame because it doesn't matter who the quarterback has been since Troy Aikman. You see the same conversation, right? Man, he's a good player. Doesn't get it done in the clutch. Well, he does get it done in the clutch, just not in certain games. You know what I mean? Like the careers of Dak and Romo are amazingly similar to me, of really good players that you don't think ever quite got accomplished what they should have. And how many guys on the Cowboys are like that? And it all goes back, you know, there's no discipline, the penalties, there's always stupid penalties. In any of these losses, there's blame the ref type stupid penalties, but they keep on doing it. And it's all Jerry's fault. All right. I mentioned at the start of the show, and I think there might be a movie that dispels this, actually. But to my knowledge, until, I guess, Friday, to my knowledge, until then, superheroes did not die. And that, unfortunately, is no longer the case. And, you know, kids, you don't have any idea probably who this guy was. But for kids like me, there was no way not to know who this guy was. And as my buddy Joe Wynn said the other day, if not for Ryan Miner, I'd still hold every record at Hammond High School. Now, if there's any truth to that or not, we'd have to go back and look at the record books. But seriously, Ryan Miner, one of the Miner twins, 89 through 92 at Hammond High School, basketball, baseball, didn't matter. Dude was a superhero for kids growing up in Western Oklahoma like us. You know, at our time, yeah. Older, younger. One of my buddies said it perfectly. He was the first guy that was like larger than life as a sports figure in Western Oklahoma, at least to our age. You know, and not only in high – I mean, it was already that way in high school.
Yeah.
Before then, he went on to have the success that he had at Oklahoma. Two sports, the way he was. Just – he was an incredible, incredible athlete.
Yeah. He was a – you heard about – it didn't matter where you lived. Where you're talking about – it wasn't just growing up in Hammond. It was growing up anywhere in Western Oklahoma. He was a Western Oklahoma sports legend. And if you – and people back, I remember my daddy would be like, okay, where's Hammond going to be tonight? Where's, you know, can we drive to Rapone and watch him or Butler or wherever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a, you made time to go watch him play. And then I've seen, yeah, and then, you know, his time at OU was awesome. And one of my memories was going to an OU basketball game with my buddy. And we walked, got there early enough for shoot around, walked down there, yelled at him. He comes over and talks to us. We're these two little kids. And my buddy, his dad at one point before he had moved to Clinton, he was a head coach at Visalia and coached against Ryan. Obviously lost. And he told him about that. He goes, yeah, I remember your dad. Yeah, Bob. I remember Bob. Yeah. And he would talk with us, and he signed a couple things for us, and then goes on and beats Nebraska in three overtimes. I still have the program in my office mm-hmm. downstairs. If you can go back, go, when were you a fan? When I was like, I will always be a fan of OU, and it was 100% because of Ryan Miner.
Yeah.
And I've seen video over this weekend of his time in Hammond. He doesn't look like a high school kid on that court.
Oh, no.
Unreal. Unreal athletic ability. And, man, he's gone too soon. Gone too soon.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that two-time All-Big Eight on the basketball floor. He was the 1995 Big Eight Player of the Year. Two-time third-team All-American playing basketball. Then you go over to baseball. He was a third-team high school All-American out of Hammond. He was a part of the 1994 OU National Title Team, all-tournament team in that tournament. He was drafted in the seventh round in 1995 by the Yankees. Didn't sign because he was coming back. And then he went in the 33rd round because he didn't have any leverage. You know what I'm saying? But he did. But interestingly enough, though, where going back and getting drafted 26 rounds later puts him in a spot that nobody else in the history of baseball is at. And that is because he went back, he got drafted in the 33rd round by who he got drafted by, the Orioles. He is the answer to one of the most awesome trivia questions there ever will be about Major League Baseball. And that is, he was the guy that stepped into the starting lineup for Cal Ripken Jr. when that streak finally ended, when Cal broke Lou Gehrig's, it was at 26-15 or whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how the nation remembers him, you know, which I find kind of annoying. I don't know what the word to use, but we remember him as what we just said, his time at Hammond in high school. His time at OU, a two-sport athlete, star. But, yeah, when the news broke and it started getting national, you'd see, well, this was the guy. Remember him? Mm-hmm. He was the guy that replaced Cal Ripken. And I was like, yeah, he's also the guy that was awesome.
Yeah, let everybody.
At OU and at Hammond. He was awesome. And I don't want the Cal Ripken thing to overshadow what –
well,
it won't just being an awesome guy.
It won't for anybody here.
Right, yeah.
Nationally, there's nothing you can do about it. Here, we got a bunch of everyone, you know, like you talked about. We're getting, like, you know, personal stories on the text line. I've got one, too. So when they went to OU, the Miners, when they went to OU and left the house, Dale and Nancy's house, you know, to go to college, mm-hmm. they had an above-ground pool that then my grandpa and Leedy bought. So, you know, there for a couple of years at grandparents' house, it was like, check this out. You may want to come and swim in Ryan and Damon's pool. Because I get to in the summertime when I'm up at Leedy. It was a really actually personal deal for me. Like, and how, but like how cool that was.
Yeah, yeah.
To a, gosh, I don't know, 12 or 13 year old kid like I was when that was all going on. It's like, yep. I'm cooler than you because I'm swimming in Ryan and Damon's pool. How you like that? I'm the only one. All you girls get out of here. This is the king's property. Now, it's like you said, gone too soon. But, I mean, just everyone our age and older, let's say. You know, it gets to a certain age younger than us that they probably don't remember him, at least from Hammond. Maybe remember him from OU. But at least from Hammond, you start to – you know, that starts to fade away pretty quick after us. But here's the thing. Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
About either playing against them, meeting them, whatever it was. Everybody's got one. And that, to me, shows the real, true greatness of either, man, at one time at Sweetwater, he dunked on me. And there was, you know, or got a buddy that I play golf with. I hit a grand slam off of him in district or whatever. You know, very few people elicit those stories that you tell just folks that have no idea that happened. But then the folks that have no idea that happened, like, everyone goes, oh, yeah, I remember them for sure. You did what? No, you didn't. BT, you did not hit a grand slam off Ryan Minor. I ain't believing it. Yeah, gone too soon. Western Oklahoma legend for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, getting closer to the year in review.
That's right.
Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.